John Cole Scott of Closed End Fund Advisors is here, and we're looking back on 2023 before we close the door on it. Welcome to The Navigator. This is The Navigator, where we talk about all-weather active investing and plotting a course to financial success with the help of Closed End Funds. The Navigator is brought to you by the Active Investment Company Alliance, a unique industry organization that represents all facets of the closed end fund industry, from users and investors to fund sponsors and creators. If you're looking for excellence beyond indexing, the Navigator will point you in the right direction. And joining me today, and again next week, it's John Cole Scott. He's president of Closed End Fund Advisors in Richmond, Virginia, which is online at cefadvisors.com. We're going to dig into some of the firm's research, and you can do that for yourself at cefdata.com. But John is also the chairman of the Active Investment Company Alliance. And if you want to learn about closed-end funds, business development companies, interval funds, and more, go to AICAlliance.org. We will be talking with John this week, looking back on 23. Next week, we'll get his forecast for 24. So in the middle of that, John Cole Scott, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Chuck. It's great to be here again.
And, you know, mostly I think we can look at this and say this was a pretty good year. And that's a little bit maybe unexpected in a world where, you know, it was the Magnificent Seven that got all the headlines and did most of the driving. But it was a challenging year, but not necessarily a non-rewarding year for closed-end funds, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, not quite at the end, but near the end. And we're almost double the average return for the year. But of course, last year I was optimistic because we had terrible results for most everything last year, and no matter what you were in.
Yes. So last year, as you looked ahead, you were expecting that this year would be good. I don't know that anybody called 2023 accurately in terms of how it was going to do, but the numbers worked out in your favor. Explain how.
So the average closed-end fund, and we use our 15-sector equal weight index for these analysis, was up a little over 15% so far in 2023. And again, I'll measure that outlook of being better than general equity markets against an equal weight S&P 500, which is up about 11%. And so very pleased with that. Of course, not the returns you saw in the NASDAQ or those top large companies in the U.S. And it's interesting because while discounts had a volatile year, whether it was March or August or October, you know, off the end of the year, some big movements, they're only about 1% difference than 3 months ago and 1% difference than 12 months ago. So this wasn't really a discount year. It was a NAV year. So I think I got that call correct.
Yes, I think you got that call right as well. And of course, your next prediction from a year ago was that we would see a January effect and that it would be a big one. And you were right on that one too, weren't you?
I was still proven righter than I expected with January this year being over 10% for the average closed-end fund. Our research shows in the last 12 years, the average up month is about a 4% positive for the January effect. And so we'll be happy that we were locked and loaded last New Year's Eve for our clients, and hopefully the rest of the market was too.
Well, we will still give you credit for that one. One that unfortunately you won't get credit for was you talked about year-end discounts and where they would be. And they moved kind of in the direction you wanted them to, but I don't know that we can give you credit for this one, can we?
No, about a year ago, discounts were 6 and high change. Sorry, 7 and low change. Now they're 6 and high change. It was better, but it's not enough to be given any positive credit for it. And I also said the CEF 2.0s would actually catch up, you know, almost two-thirds of their deficit to their peers. And we saw a little improvement, but not nearly enough to get credit for that as well.
Unfortunately, on that one... Next thing you talked about a year ago at this time, you were looking at the average yield and how you expected that to return.
Yeah, so we thought that we'd end up, you know, basically dividends probably somewhat stable. You know, we thought that we'd have NAVs rise, discounts narrow, which that math makes the yields go down. We're in modeling for about a 7.5%. And right now, it's basically almost 10, and last year is around 10 as well. What's fascinating is that our index, which has some dividend cuts, of course, in it, a weighted 1.4% increase, only 20 CEFs cut over 5%, 25% increased over 5%, and almost half just literally had no change during the year, which can be common with some the way some boards handle their fund exposures. So I'll say I got it wrong, but it wasn't nearly the type of wrong I would dislike, which would be lots of dividend cuts. The dollars are actually slightly higher, just not the math showing indicating yields now.
Well, we could say it this way. You were wrong, but in terms of the investor and how the investor felt, it kind of felt so right.
The key is, as long as you were diversified, not in two sectors.
You also talked last year about how much volatility you expected, and we certainly had a lot of that.
The last 2 years couldn't have been more different from each other and more different than expected. But we had extreme volatility, you know, such a positive January and then such a kick in the knees in March. June and July, the market was positive again, really moving forward. And then August through October, another, oh my gosh, the world's going to end. And then everyone was surprised again completely in closing funds and the markets in general with tremendously positive Novembers and Decembers, basically taking a flat year to a double than average year. So I'll take a correct there if it's okay with you.
Just fine by me. The next one, it'll sound funny to folks when they hear us talking about IPOs, but initial public offerings in closed-end funds, a big year would be that you got more than a handful of them. And you were expecting that there'd be a fair amount of activity in closed-end funds, a bunch of new IPOs. Didn't exactly turn out the way you expected, did it?
It didn't. I was expecting over half to be munis and more target terms, which are kind of the simpler, safer, easier, lower term structure. But it's been a drought for the market in that capacity because discounts have been terrible. And there's been so much need for the secondary market to narrow before anyone's willing to take the risk on an IPO, both from a cost and from a trading perspective.
On that one, although I don't know that anybody missed a bunch of funds that weren't created that probably will be created down the line.
There are some N2 filings coming, and we do expect something in 24. We can chat about that next week.
I was going to say, I have a sense that we'll find out about that when we are talking about your forecast for 24. Another thing that you are always going to look at if you're going to evaluate closed-end funds is what happened with activism. And it was an interesting year in terms of activists, wasn't it?
I'd say that the general consensus, it was tougher than expected, you know, for the fund sponsors. There was one fund, GIM, that effectively lost its contract to Saba. It'll become their fund in the new year. And that wasn't as common before. It seems potentially more common. There's a lot more defensive strategies going on at the fund sponsor level, a lot of posturing from some of the activists. And so the more tenders as well, some large 20, even 50% tenders announced, not this year completed, but announced in this year, really pushing on the sector. But I well note we had an activism panel at the conference last month. It's worth a look. But Phil Goldstein reminded us that generally speaking, that activists bring some support to funds. So we probably have wider discounts without them in the space. But I'd also be, you know, curious to think about, you know, where these funds will be in the future with these new managers.
Still, we give you credit for having the activism picture completely right. Now, one that you did not have right. You were talking a year ago about duration risk and at what point would folks start changing their duration because, you know, we had the inverted yield curve and all the rest and how things were going to play out. It didn't work out the way you expected, did it?
It didn't. I mean, for some reason, I didn't understand what was going to happen with interest rates or, inflation 12 months ago. But duration risk definitely was still real for much of this year. And that's really what brought us to a neutral performance through 10 months. So you could just say I was 10 months early, but still not quite right.
Yeah, I'm afraid 10 months early is also known as. Yep. You talked about the top sectors and you were calling for REITs, international bonds, New York muni funds, and business development companies. And you did pretty well on this one. I mean,
I'll tell you how I rated it. I mean, REIT real assets, the real assets did a little better than the REIT. There's still some office. It's not the full market, but REITs have a bad name right now. Up 10% on the year, though. So even an underperformance is not a terrible result. International bond funds, 14%, slightly higher than a blended bond fund index. It's interesting as I decided to call the New York sector out, which is popular with, you know, people in this New York City and state that have high tax brackets. The New York sector was up almost twice as much this year than the national muni sector. And that's just because of the wider discounts and a little bit of better NAV performance. So not great returns, but great relative intra-neighborhood returns. And then BDCs, I wouldn't have imagined that they'd be up almost 27% this year. I just did a client review and that allocation was up 41% this year. I can't promise the future or outperformance, but those things were beautiful additions to what we did. And I'm very pleased that, you know, we had rough wins. I called it a tie, but you are a coach and sometimes a judge. How'd you call it?
Well, from a standpoint of what I have at my disposal, I could have said,
wrong, sir, wrong.
But I don't actually think so, because I think that whoever listened last year would have looked, and if they followed what you said, although it wasn't perfect, they were going to be pretty happy with the results. So I'm going to give you credit for that one. And then the last thing you did last year and what you do every year is you take a look at a couple of funds that you think are going to be working well for investors. And I will give out the ticker symbols as we do it. And I think I have this right. As I look at it, if I had to judge, it would be TSLX, EFT, MEGI, MFM, and NMAI. And I suppose I could have maybe gone 3-2 instead of 4-1, but ultimately, you were pretty spot on.
Yes. I mean, we had dividend growth for the allocation, not every fund, but the basket over the index. And we had average performance. Again, five funds is not a portfolio, but 20% for the year versus 15 for the index. So not the future, not a guarantee, but at least we liked our overweights and where we stuck our clients' money.
Yeah. And again, diversifying, if you do diversification, it's not going to surprise you that if you have put five funds into a portfolio, you'd kind of be surprised if all five were moving in sync. That might be a sign that you hadn't really done your homework. So all told, by my count, and I would have maybe given you credit for the one you called a tie, but you had more right than you had wrong. Either way, it was 5-4-1 if you count the tie, 6-4 the other way. And again, early means that maybe one or two of these things, they'll be right down the line. John, great stuff as always. I look forward to starting 2024 with you and finding out what you think is going to happen next week.
Great to be here, Chuck.
The Navigator is a joint production of the Active Investment Company Alliance and Money Life with Chuck Jaffe. Yep, that's me. And you can learn all about my hour-long weekday podcast by going to moneylifeshow.com or by searching for it wherever you find your favorite podcasts. To learn more about closed-end funds, business development companies, and interval funds, check out AICAlliance.org, the website for the Active Investment Company Alliance. They're on Facebook and LinkedIn at AIC Alliance. And if you have questions about closed-end funds, send them to the Navigator at AICAlliance.org. Thanks to my guest, John Cole Scott. He's president of Closed End Fund Advisors in Richmond, Virginia, and he's the chairman of the Active Investment Company Alliance. The firm is online at cefadvisors.com, and their data is at cefdata.com, and John is on Twitter at John Cole Scott. He will also be here next week giving his forecasts for the year ahead, and you don't want to miss that. And if you don't want to miss anything, well, remember, the Navigator podcast is new every Friday. Follow along on your favorite podcast app. We'll be back next week. Have a great New Year's celebration in the meantime. And as always, happy investing, everybody.